With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Taking you up to 6:30 tonight. By the way, we got Wizards basketball on the Fan. A rare night of the Wiz right here in Crystal Clear FM. You can listen to them at 7 o'clock. As we told you, though, we are giving away our final pair of Caps tickets of this hour. So we are giving away this last pair for the week right now. We're going to do it at the top of the hour here. We got Nick Dowd on the hotline joining us on the BetQL Guest Hotline in just a moment. So I tell you what we'll do. It's going to be a little bit more work for my guy Ryan, and I apologize in advance. But to correctly honor Nick Dowd, who wears sweater number 26, caller number 26.
Here we go.
At 800-636-1067. Good thing it's not TJ Oshie, who wears 77, or Kuzi, who wears 92. Caller number 26, you're winning two tickets to the Caps and the Kraken a week from tonight. Next Friday, Capitals Holiday Pack is back. Get two tickets, two games, plus a special TJ Snoshi holiday gnome starting at only $189. For more information, washcaps.com/holidaypacks, 202-266-CAPS. That's 202-266-CAPS.
Just reminds me, we need to get Marcus Johansson on sometime soon to do a giveaway.
We probably should, just to make Ryan earn it. Nicholas,
86.
Great to talk to you again, man. How are you?
Yeah, hey, boys. How are you doing?
What do you say,
well,
bud?
Just in Calgary. Calgary's soaking up the 0-degree weather.
We were just talking to John Walton, who said it was like minus 40 wind chill or whatever when you guys got there. We've been looking forward to chatting with you. Dow, by the way, brought to you by Main Street Bank. It's your local bank. Local, put our team in your office. So yeah, what is it like? I mean, are you just in the hotel and you're not leaving no matter what?
No, we're out for lunch right now. We just got done with practice today, and I'd say the worst part about it is how dry it is. You just get into the sheets last night, it's like you're sitting in sandpaper.
Wait a minute. That's the worst part, not the minus 40?
No, I don't mind the cold weather. I mean, I went to school in St. Cloud in Minnesota, and that's where my wife's from. So we've spent a lot of winters there, and I think Minnesota is colder than here. So I think it's just like how dry it is. You get outside, you breathe that in, and it's like your throat starts to bleed.
So on a day like today, you guys are going out, a handful of you, I'm sure, are at a restaurant getting lunch. How clean are you eating? Like, you don't have a game tonight. You don't play until, I guess, tomorrow. Like, what is your – are you eating for fun because something looks good on the menu? Or are you eating as a professional athlete, Nick Dowd?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. You know, you got to eat a little bit for fun for the brain. I think it's nice to you know, indulge a little bit. But, you know, we're not having any pies, so I don't want you to get upset.
You won't have to worry about
me. That's a great zing.
You would never eat a pie. I know that. I respect you too much. You're too good a guy.
Body's a temple.
Well, if I did, I wouldn't tell anybody. I do it on my own time.
There you go.
But no, I'd say I just put my order in. I got a sandwich, splitting a pasta with garni, salad, soup, and I'm on my. I got a nice Italian pilsner sitting in front of me. So
I love the idea that, and even if it's just pretend for me, Nick, that like the lines go out to eat. You know what I mean? Like, you and Garnett are like, do you want to go halfsies on a soup and sandwich? And, like, you guys do that.
Protee's here, too. He's sitting across from me right now, actually.
Atta boy.
I love it.
Yeah, we got the goalies with us. So, yeah, we're keeping it tight, you know, keeping it one unit.
Pretty amazing that you were one of – I saw this on Cap Social, I think it was. You were one of the only people on the team that could spell Darcy Kemper's name correctly. I found that pretty stunning.
Yeah, I agree. I think I did benefit from playing with Kemps for about – 30 to 40 games in LA before I got traded to Vancouver. So I did kind of have a little bit of a upper hand on that, but Dylan Strome, we like to call him Scoopsy. He's down with everything hockey and NHL that you could ever imagine. He misspelled Kemp's name wrong, so we were giving that to him pretty hard.
Oh, so he's like an NHL mark. Like, he knows.
He's a guru.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So why? Does he just watch everything and soak it up or what?
Yeah. He's he's a student of the game, I guess. But he loves hockey to a point where he's watching. We're trying to figure him out right now. He definitely has all the scoops when it comes to who's potentially being traded. He knows basically wherever every player, current and past, has like played, where they played junior hockey, where they played minor league hockey, like where they were born, when they were traded. It's actually pretty impressive.
Legit skill right there. Nick Dowd with us here on Grant and Danny. Nick, I marvel at you guys for a number of reasons. One, the how good you all are at hockey is just incredible. It's not some sport I grew up playing, but just the level of skill, especially when you get to go and see it up close, is nothing short of incredible. So, but beyond that, the grind that you guys are on, I think is just underappreciated. Back-to-backs, different cities, and you're like, having lunch now, and it's pitch black outside where we are in your hometown. Everything is weird. But here's another way I marvel at you guys. Like, I'm still thinking about last night. I'm sitting there, my fat butt on the couch. I'm like, I can't believe it. And you're just like, I'll be fine. I'll live to play another day. I'm a pro. We'll have 70 more of these things, or however many more games are left. The resiliency that you guys have is just unbelievable to me. Not a great question, but just a thought.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a balance, right? Like, early in my career, you make a bad play, you get scored on, you lose a game, whatever it is, like, that type of stuff really, really stuck with me, and I took it home, and it bothered me, and it tied me in knots, and it's tough. And then I think, like, you establish yourself in the league a little bit, and you do your best to stick around and play more and more games, and eventually, like, you get to a point where you understand, okay, like, mistakes are going to happen. If there were no mistakes, the game would be 0-0 and no one would ever come watch. And mistakes are going to happen, and there's going to be some ups and downs. I think it's I think it's important enough to learn from, what happened. You take last night, for example, like, learn from last night. I think it would be an issue if you weren't, learning from your mistakes and continuing to grow as like a player and a person, but the next time that situation arises. It's tough to bring that stuff with you. I mean, you play 82 games a year, and then on top of it, right, it's like you don't want to let one bad game turn into five bad games because you can't turn the page. So,
speaking of last night, before we do turn the page officially as a show, we started talking about this. I've never seen that before. 7 seconds into overtime, right off the draw, a breakaway. What and how does that happen?
Yeah, that was pretty unfortunate. I mean, that was pretty unlucky. I mean, there are a lot of things have to go right and wrong for that type of thing to happen. But actually, if you watch enough hockey, ironically enough, it was almost like all three guys on the ice, Oh, Johnny and Lars, were trying to do such a good job at what they needed to do that's like basically why it happened. Was Lars gets in there to win the faceoff because possession in overtime is the biggest thing. I mean, if you own the puck, the other team potentially could not touch the puck, right? I mean, you get to change guys with the puck. The other team's tired. I mean, that opening faceoff is a huge, huge deal. So Lars, gets in there, wins the draw, and turns around and tries to smack the puck back to John. John is at the same time pinching up to grab the puck to help Lars, and then Osh does such a good job of getting body position on Burakovsky that he dives in to help out Lars. And then in the mix of all that, their centerman loses the draw, jumps around Lars, Johnny's pinching. Then Burakovsky has no body position on Osh, but actually that allows Burakovsky to get around Johnny because he's on the outside. So it's just like, I mean, you look at it and you watch it in slow-mo and you're like, well, if Osh hadn't tried so hard, Lars hadn't tried so hard, and Johnny hadn't tried so hard, everyone would have been in the right spot. So, I mean, it's a goofy thing. you know, and whatever. I mean, that type of stuff happens. So, but yeah, I mean, that's a rarity. I've never seen that in my career either.
So, Nick, we're on until 6:30 at night, and then there's usually traffic for us getting home. So by the time I get home last night, and, you know, obviously you guys are on late, but, you know, I'm putting the kids to bed, and, you know, there's a couple minutes into the game, and Oshie's already been in a fight. Is that like an orchestrated thing, like he's going home, so he should probably throw hands? Like, do you have one of those where you know you're getting in a fight just to get the hometown crowd a thrill or something like that?
No. I don't think I had any to do that. I mean, I'm sure Osh, you know, you go into any place you want to play well, but I don't think that was part of it. I think Osh just plays a really hard game, and, you know, he buried one of their guys, and, that was kind of it. But, I don't think he had any intention of going into the game thinking that.
Nick Dowd on Grant and Danny. We're with him each and every week. Make sure you are listening to his segments because he always gets you a little closer to the team, does a great job breaking down everything going on with the Caps. Nick, we're excited to see you guys get back home here at the arena, man. I'll see you when you get back.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Nick.
Happy to get back as well.
Go enjoy the rest of that lunch. There's Nick Dowd with us from Canada, where the wind chill last night was minus 40 when
minus
they landed.
Minus 40. Ooh, minus 40.
That is tough.
Calgary's a bleak town, by the way.
Yeah, I bet.
I'll just let you know.
I've never been there, but you have, and you said it's...
Yeah, Calgary is mildly bad. Edmonton stinks. And if you know someone from Edmonton, tell them I'm sorry. Look them in the eye and put your hand on the right shoulder and just go, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Nick Dowd brought to you by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. All right, let's look at some of the best games of the upcoming weekend in the NFL. Spin you around the league. I got four really good ones, and we'll throw a fifth in here for you. Start off 1 o'clock window, 12 local time. They'll put the ball in the air in Minneapolis. Jets 7-4, Vikings 9-2. Minnesota got boat raced by the Cowboys. Quick turnaround on Thanksgiving night. Beat the Patriots and looked really good on offense doing it against a solid defense. Jets, meanwhile, have gone to Mike White. He threw for 303 touchdowns in his season debut in the rain. Now they take on Minneapolis's Vikings, trying to prove that they are a real fixture and a contender in an AFC East that is jumbled up. Here's Kevin O'Connell on the Jets defense.
Every week is a new challenge. It seems like every week is a heck of a defensive challenge for our offense, with just the different types of special players at different levels of defenses we've seen lately. And I think our guys are, you know, understand the challenge again this week is a heck of a task with this defense and the way they're coached and what Robert does with this team. It's been impressive to see how hard they play. They're fundamentally sound, technique sound, and they've got some really good players on both sides of the ball, really. So a heck of a challenge for us.
Fascinated by the Jets here in this one, GP. Morbidly curious. What does Mike White do? I mean, they traded for James Robinson, who didn't get the call over Zonovan Knight, who had 69 yards in relief of Michael Carter, who was playing in relief of Breece Hall. So they are down on offense big time, but Mike White has given them kind of an injection of life. It is exciting to see what they might do against Minnesota. They need to have it to stay alive.
Just about every game now for the Vikings, Justin Jefferson breaks another record for productivity that many games into his career. He has 81 catches for 1,232 yards right now with a month left in the season.
Yeah, man.
1,200 yards. He could go.
That's my fantasy pick.
For like 120 and 1,700 or something wacky this season. All right, let's move on to what I think could be the best game of the weekend. Tennessee and Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. Titans, Eagles, the A.J. Brown Bowl. Tennessee is 7-4. Philly is 10-1. Brown played for Tennessee, who drafted him, wanted a new contract. They said they weren't going to pay him. They didn't. He moved on to Philly, where he's become a really big part of their offense. Now, you can make the case, and I think it's true, that the Titans miss him, and their passing game has struggled all season long because they don't have him. But it's not like as a team, they're much worse off than they would be with him. Maybe they'd be 8-3. I guess possibly they could be 9-2, a game or two better with A.J. Brown. But they're just doing what they do under Mike Vrabel. Running the ball and playing defense. This is Nick Sirianni, the coach of an Eagles team that has the best record in football.
I don't think you treat it any different with how you tell one player toward another player. What I said to Zach Pascal before we played Indianapolis is going to be the same similar things. That my message to AJ this week, he doesn't have to do any more than just go out there and be himself. Like, he doesn't have to press. He just got to go out there and do his job to the best of his abilities with the attention to detail, and to go out there and put it. Because if you allow yourself there, every week you could do that to yourself, right? Well, now I'm going, you know, I know there's no team for AJ to go home to in Mississippi, but I'm going to New Orleans, and I'm going to treat that better, bigger, because I'm playing in front of them. Or now I'm going to play my former team here. Oh, now I'm going to play, I'm thinking of Ole Miss guy. I don't, now I'm going to play this team, and that was my college roommate, and so now I got to get up for this one. If you just treat everyone the same, right, that's the way to go. And then
that sounds great in theory. They didn't want to pay him, and so they let him go. This is a revenge game.
Revenge game.
Pretty simple.
I could have just said revenge game, though, and it's cool to hear Sirianni's probably going to sit him down and say, hey, bro, we got your back. You're here now. You don't got to be Superman. Let's just go beat them. You do what you've done all year long. Everything's going to be
fine.
And
it'll end up as a revenge game. For the Titans, they're doing the Titans thing. They start off terribly. They win a whole bunch of games in a row. Their last loss before this past week was an overtime to Kansas City. They're really well coached. They know who they are. They play good defense. They run the ball. They look for just enough plays in the passing game. I think they'll fall short. But if they somehow win this one, they're sitting at 8-4 with Jaguars, Chargers, Texans the next few weeks. Cowboys, tough tilt, but they close again with the Jags. Easy path, again, for 11-plus wins.
Speaking of revenge games, Dolphins, 49ers, Miami 8-3, San Francisco 7-4. This game is being played out west in California. San Francisco has become a tough customer. Everyone kind of predicted they would round into form as the year went on. Then they traded for Christian McCaffrey. Here's your storyline in this game, though. Mike McDaniel is Kyle Shanahan's little brother, coaching-wise. Not actually. He's not a Shanahan. But Mike McDaniel was in Houston with Kyle. He came to Washington with Kyle. He went to Cleveland with Kyle. He was in Atlanta with Kyle. Wherever Shanahan went, McDaniel went. And he learned from him. And he studied him. And he watched him. And then he coordinated his run game. Then he went to Miami and took a bunch of Kyle's stuff. And the Dolphins are a machine. This is McDaniel versus Shanahan, whether they want to make it that way or not.
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask that with their owner, because it's, you know, it's... each lemonade stands different. That's kind of how I see it. You know, they run it however they want. So I bet it did, you know, because it seemed like they liked him. Obviously, they hired him. So I'm sure they didn't dislike it. But Mike, that's Mike's personality. I never knew how he would do in those press conferences or how he'd come off. That's how he is all the time to us, even a little bit worse probably. And it's an acquired taste sometimes, or sometimes throws people off a little bit. But I thought he put it together real good and did it in a funny way, and was always entertaining in those press conferences.
I love Miami's offense so much. It's so simple. Give the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, the best players. Fascinated to see it against an excellent defense playing at the top of its game in San Francisco. It can work against bad teams. Can it work against that one?
One more great game from a great slate this weekend to squeeze in here. Chiefs-Bengals in Cincy.
Yeah, man.
I did not think the Bengals would repeat from last year as this good. I thought this would be...
Yep, I'm guilty.
You lost the Super Bowl. You were on the magical carpet ride. You weren't as good as the result, and you fall back off. The Rams are the team that has no chance.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati's the club that might win its division and make some noise in the playoffs this year. Chiefs are 9-2. They're going to win the AFC West. For all the talk about the Broncos and the Raiders and the Chargers and how good the division was going to be all offseason. But look at all these quarterbacks. The Chiefs are the Chiefs, man. Mahomes and Kansas City are just better than everyone else, probably in the whole conference. But the Bengals are the one team that has been able to swing that axe and dent them a little bit. Beat them in the AFC Championship game. They host them this weekend. Joe Burrow on Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, he's the best right now. He's been playing the best all year. It's fun to watch him play. He does it a lot of different ways. There really hasn't been a lot of people like him come through the game.
This is a huge game for the Bengals. For the Chiefs, whatever. They win, they lose, doesn't matter. They're still the best. But the Bengals have a difficult stretch here coming up.
What do they got?
Well, I just had in front of me, and I clicked off the wrong way. There it is. The only winnable game they have that's easy is the Browns, who already beat the brakes off them a few weeks ago. It's Bucks, Patriots, Bills, Ravens. All teams over 500. All teams that are either playoffs in or playoff worthy here at some point. So the Bengals have a tough road to hold. They're going to have to maybe tip it a birdie, you wouldn't think, in the next couple weeks.
So that might mean tickets on the Ravens to win the division right now make some sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore's schedule is actually soft. They've got Denver this weekend. Then they play Pittsburgh. Then they play Cleveland. Then they play Atlanta. Then they play Pittsburgh before finishing with the Bengals. So advantage Baltimore maybe in that division race in the AFC North. All right, next, we'll scout the opponent. We will check in with a member of the Giants radio booth. Got to find out about this New York team ahead of Sunday's matchup in the Meadowlands. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. One hour left on Grant and Danny this week and tonight. We're keeping you company on your commute home, and we thank you for listening to the show each and every Friday as part of our Football Friday preview of the upcoming game. Nobody does a better job breaking down Sunday matchups on Fridays than your pals. We scout the opponent. And to help us scout the New York Giants, we've got Howard Cross of Giants Radio, who joins us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Howard, thanks for the time. Let's just begin with what is a regression, it seems like, for New York over this last month. They've dropped 3 out of 4 with losses to teams like the Detroit Lions, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Seattle Seahawks. What has changed as they have kind of lost some of that dominant footing they had out of the gates?
Well, what really changed was that, you know, Bellinger getting hurt kind of really stifled the offense. And the reason why I say that is that at a tight end, you wouldn't think of it this way, but he's an excellent blocker. And it creates so many opportunities in the run game when he's out there. His ability to block and hold off defensive ends and linebackers has really, you know, helped the offense kind of get going. And then when they're doing the RPOs, he's a pivotal point in that process as well, as he releases down the field off of those blocks to catch passes. He should be back either this week or next week. So if with his return, you know, pending, it will change a lot of the offensive progress of the game. The other thing is that, you know, the Giants had, oh my goodness, so many injuries that is just overwhelming. Both corners went down. Some of the pass rushers are out. A bunch of the offensive linemen went out. It just was, you know, kind of a snowball effect all at once.
Are there receiving options enough for this game, Howard? Just thinking about, you know, all of a sudden it feels like a renaissance for Slayton again. Like he's had a big catch and run of late. With Bellinger back, is there enough for Daniel Jones to be able to sprinkle it around a little bit?
There's enough. I mean, they can move the ball around a little bit with the receiver options. It's just that they don't have they've been complaining about that all year long. And with Slayton coming back and becoming more of almost a downfield threat, he's an excellent route runner. It helps out. But you need a guy opposite Slayton. And Bellinger was like that second option getting off the line of scrimmage. If he's not back, then you're still trying to, you know, piece together a passing game with limited receivers.
So I don't mean this disrespectively toward the Giants at all, right? Washington's similar in a lot of ways. But we were breaking them down a little bit ago, and I said, Jones doesn't scare me throwing the football, and they don't have the weapons to scare me on the outside. The running game recently, you mentioned Bellinger, there are other reasons why, I'm sure, but hasn't been great. And by the way, Washington's exceptional at stopping the run. You know, defensively, they're fine, but they're not as good as Washington. My point was, there's like nothing about this team that really scares me other than Daniel Jones running the football on some broken plays. Am I off base? What am I missing? Like, what is the calling card for them that you would say makes them dangerous?
If everybody starts to come back, if a few of the offensive linemen come back and Bellinger comes back, then it becomes a problem for Washington in the standpoint that the RPOs become the hardest thing to prevent in football in the NFL, because you have to account for the quarterback on every play. It's no need to run the quarterback if he's kind of the option, and if nothing else can happen on the outside. If Bellinger's back, you know, Saquon and Jones are playing at the same time, then, you know, you have to start accounting for extra people. You do account for everyone when there's, you know, not that third option out there. If everyone's back, it becomes a little bit harder to do. I think Washington's advantage is their interior three guys are the guys that are going to be playing against the guys that are struggling probably the most for the Giants. That's the, you know, one-off for the two teams. If the Giants find a way to, quote-unquote, maybe get the ball closer to the edge and they can, if they're not running it, they're just pitching it right over the edge, it becomes a hard thing to cover.
Howard Cross with us here, breaking down the Giants, scouting the opponent here on G&D. What have we seen from Kayvon Thibodeaux just yet? I think Dexter Lawrence is really good. Leonard Williams doesn't have the sack totals, but that guy's still a force. What have we seen from the young rookie?
A lot of disrespect from the officials. There are guys that are tackling him to the ground, game in and game out, which I think is kind of funny. But he's going to probably show up more and more as the year goes on. Like, I think he's really I think he's becoming totally healthy. He's, you know, came off the knee injury, took about four games to kind of get his legs back under him, and he's getting better and better week in and week out. There are games where, like, I think even in the Dallas game, he ran over the tackle, the tight end, and Zeke on his way to hitting Dak. So you can't really count the kid out. He's got that kind of special talent and ability, and if he gets a little healthier, he becomes of a problem. The problem is that he doesn't have a guy on the opposite side that is like consistently coming in and giving some sort of pressure. So you got the two guys in the middle and nobody to the opposite side. So quarterbacks start to fade away from his side and fade away from the middle. And the guy on the opposite side kind of has to make a play or at least hold the quarterback in place.
Howard, correct me if I'm wrong. They didn't pick up the option on Daniel Jones before the year, right?
So, no, they did not.
So he's a pending free agent then? His contract's expiring. What is the state of the union on that decision?
I wish I could tell you. I mean, if somehow, some way, let's say the Giants split with Washington, they somehow, some way split with the Eagles and win one of the other two games, the Giants would be in the playoffs. If the Giants go to the playoffs, I have no idea what they do. You know, they could franchise him. They could, you know, but if you franchise him, you can't franchise Saquon. You know, damn if you do, damn if you don't moment here with these guys. And you got other players that are coming up. You got Love that's coming up. You want to sign Love back to a contract. You got Dexter Lawrence, who's almost at the end of his deals. You got to figure out a way to tie him up. And soon you'll be trying to tie up Thomas on the outside. So when they came, they knew they had a lot to do with the salary cap and this roster. It's just, you know, one of those things. They kind of, we say mortgage the farm to try to get into the playoffs, and when it didn't work, and the mortgage still do.
You mentioned Saquon Barkley, who's going to rush for 1,000 yards for a third time this year. After 8 yards against Washington, he'll be over 1,000 for the year. After 2 years without having done it, he's getting back to the level we saw when he was a rookie of the year in his first season and a strong sophomore season. Is it just health with him, or is there more to it than that? And chronicle how good he's been this year. He's still somehow only 25 years old.
He is a young player. You know, he dealt with a knee and an ankle for 2 years trying to get over that. He really recovered really well. You know, if he's healthy, you know, top to bottom, shoulders, knees, hips, everything, he can be a dangerous back. It's just how do you figure out how to get him the ball? The problem is that when he's such a big weapon, teams start to, you know, load up the box. When you watch defenses, whatever team it is, there are 8 guys, 9 guys standing in the box trying to wait for him to touch the ball. You can fake it to him, and God, the entire defense follows him over.
Last one I want to ask you about here, Howard, is this Giants secondary. I feel like at times this year it's been really solid, even plus. I wonder where they're at now and if there might be potential for a big Washington play. We haven't had one of those in like months and months, it seems, but I'm thinking of like a forward pass that a receiver catches for, say, more than like 8 or 9 yards.
It's a possibility. Like I said, it depends on who's going to be back this week. You know, with Jackson being out and the other starting corner being out, and thinking the third corner got banged up and was down, it became, you know, you can see it in the Dallas game, it was just, they were just trying to cycle guys through, trying to figure out who could stand up, who knew the coverage well enough. Like, a lot of guys that are playing, they had, at one point, I think in the Dallas game, they had 11 guys unavailable to play. That's more than a third of your entire team. So, you know, everybody's got injuries, but I don't know if the Giants had the personnel to have that many injuries and be you know, a viable team.
Former Giants radio, helping us scout the opponent, Howard Cross, on Grant and Danny. Hey, I wanted to ask you one off the beaten path here, just college football question. I don't know how closely you follow college, but there's this D lineman at Notre Dame who's really impressed me this year, named Howard Cross III, and I just wanted to see if you had any insight or you've heard about this guy at all. He looks like he could be a pro.
Well, you know, the thing about Howard is, like, when he was coming out of school at 6 foot tall, everybody was not counting on him, and all of a sudden he became, like, I think, Gatorade Player of the Year or whatever it was for the state of New Jersey, and he got a ton of offers all of a sudden, and we tried to, point towards great education over and over again more than anything else, thinking that, hey, look, if you get a shot at the pros, that would be awesome. But if you go to one of these schools, a Stanford, a Northwestern, a Duke, or Notre Dame, like, if you get a degree from there, it can carry your life for a long ways. And he's going there, getting his degree. Thank God he should graduate this May. And he's been playing pretty excellent. Even, I think, like midway through the season, he had a high ankle sprain and still is an effective player. So, you know, totally healthy. I have no idea, what he's going to do. I don't know what he runs his 40 in. I've never timed him, but he's able to play at a very high rate. He's pretty fast. He gets a lot of penetration. And he always complains, I need to make more sacks. I said, just make tackles and please stay healthy if you can. So it's just funny for me, to watch your son playing high levels at a Division I school.
Can't even imagine. It's really, really cool. Howard, congrats on that, and enjoy the game this weekend, man. Thanks for the time.
All right, man. You guys have a great one.
You too. Be good. There's Howard Cross, Giants Radio, on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So there's your breakdown on the New York football Giants. All right, let's do this next. Let's make our predictions for the game this Sunday, and let's take your calls. Does Washington beat New York? If they do, they have set themselves up to be basically a win in the upcoming game out of the bye away from sealing a postseason spot up with 3 weeks to go. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Darius doesn't play enough T.I. on this show.
I think there's a good amount.
No, he doesn't play enough.
No, it's about right.
There were two T.I. bangers. What was the other one? And not top back. I don't count that. There was Whatever You Like, and there was one other T.I. banger. What was it?
Oh, it's going to kill me because I know exactly what you're talking about. This is the Zim one. This was one of his walk-up songs.
Exactly. There was one other that I loved from T.I.
Is it Bring 'Em Out?
Live Your Life. Live Your Life.
T.I.? That was T.I.?
Yes, it was. Mm. And it was a bangarang, Peter.
It was.
Yeah. Actually, I'll admit that. Can we restart the segment with Live Your Life now?
No, that was Live Your Life.
No, that was Whatever You Like.
Oh.
You can have whatever you like.
Right, right.
Different than
Zim's second at bat of the
so
day.
So live okay. your life.
Hey. Hangover song. Yeah.
That was it was a smash. When I hear that song, I'm driving around. I'm like 22 years old again.
Who's the? There's another person in that song. That's either is it Rihanna's in that song too?
Am I making that up? One of the two, Whatever You Like, probably.
It's no, he's right. It's Rihanna's in this song.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
You got it ready?
Yeah, we're gonna restart the segment.
Are we gonna come back? Okay, yep. Let's start the segment again.
Damn it!
My life.
What you need to do is be thankful for the life you got. You know,
smash.
Very thankful, T.I., sir.
Stop
very
thankful. What you ain't got. Start being thankful for what you do got. Let's get it to him, baby girl. Hey.
When it kicks in, though, I don't care if you're 100 or you're 8. You got to move a little bit.
This one's a smash.
When this bar drops, give it to me right now.
It's very rare.
Oh, there it is.
Very rare that we get any kind of the hippity hop on this program where you and I have a Venn diagram that crosses over.
I love hip hop.
This is one. No, for you and me.
Oh yeah. Well, in fairness, your landing strip, your where we can put the plane down for you in hip hop is a very small real estate.
With all due respect, I've got a broad catalog of hip hop.
I disagree entirely.
Yeah, but because you don't know anything is my
because
point.
Your hip hop is either not hip hop or it's very, very old.
Well, it's certainly older, yeah. But like I grew up in the golden era, as recognized by people that know music. So you get to the tail end of it, like early 2000s. This is in there, so we can do that the gif of the two guys with huge muscles shaking hands. That's us.
That was dynamite. absolute fire.
Bronas?
Hip hop anonymous. T.I. is more than welcome on this show. All right, do you want to make your Commanders prediction, Danny,
let's
for Sunday against the Giants?
Let's make the prediction.
Go ahead.
16-15, good guys. Gross game. Terrible. Unaesthetically pleasing. Miserable to watch. Pain in the butt. The Giants will have the football with a chance to win it, and somehow, out of their tuckuses, the Washington Commanders will win this football game.
I think you get hailed to the Commanders for that, right? I mean, it was kind of a backhanded prediction of the Commanders winning, but we'll take it. You can keep the music going for my prediction.
Fight for your Commanders.
Commanders, 24.
What?
Giants.
In one game.
14.
Come on.
Defense dominates.
Come on.
Giants can't get anything going on the ground with Saquon. Daniel Jones throws not one, but two.
Pickles. Forward passes? Oh.
No, he throws six forward passes. Two of them ends up in the hands of Washington footballers, including Kendall Fuller. Kendall Fuller picks off a pass for a third consecutive game. Offensively, Taylor Heinicke, two touchdown passes.
What?
Yes.
Grant.
Brian Robinson, touchdown run. He runs for 126 on 22 carries.
You are calling for three offensive touchdowns?
Three. I think they'll have 21 comfortably for much of the fourth quarter. They'll get a field goal to go ahead by 10 points with about 4 minutes to go. Robinson, 20-plus for 120-plus, and Taylor Heinicke with two touchdowns. Here's the hot part. Here's the crazy part to my prediction.
Okay.
Here's where I'm going to be bold.
All right.
One of those touchdowns, Logan Thomas. The other, by God, that's Jahan Dotson's music.
I remember him.
You remember that guy?
Yeah.
The draft pick?
That's
the guy
right.
They took in the first round?
When the plan was to run the ball.
He catches the touchdown. If all of that happens, you're coming in here, I think you're going to be a little fired up on Monday.
I'll be shucking and jiving because it'll be the first time they scored three touchdowns in a game on offense since September the 18th. September.
I don't think the Giants' defense is that good. Let's start there.
I think they're very okay. They're solid.
Extremely pedestrian.
Yeah.
Their running game doesn't worry me. Now, if the Giants lose, how does that happen? If the Commanders lose to the Giants, if the Giants win the game, how does that happen? I think we need to try to write that script and coach against that next. Okay? So we'll do that next on G&D. I also want to help Ryan get ready for a birthday meal he's having tonight. He's going to a steak dinner. He just asked me what sauce he should get with his steak.
Oh, man.
And I about wanted to put my head through a wall.
Okay.
So we're going to have to coach him up a little bit, really prepare him for the meal ahead. So we'll do those two things on Grant and Danny here on The Fan for our stretch run, taking you up to 6:30 and some Wizards basketball tonight. We're G&D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.